up the word. I got them in front because I'm not just preaching to them, but I want to have you be part of this. Amen? Remember being 17? Come on, you remember being 17 years old? Remember? Hallelujah. And I remember that. I remember that a long time ago, but I remember those days. And, you know, you knew everything back then. Come on, amen? Come on. You remember you were 17? You knew everything, boy. I tell you what. Everything, you knew it all, and you just felt like you had everything. I knew I did. I don't know about them, but I knew I thought I knew everything. And I told my dad I knew everything, but I found out that I didn't know everything that I thought I knew. So tonight I'm going to talk to them about this. I want to talk to them about being 17. I'm going to talk to them about dreaming. Amen? But I want to talk to you about dreaming too. I'm going to share with you about Joseph and about a dreamer and about how we're never to lose our dreams. We're never to lose that dream that's within us, that even from a little kid, from a young child, that there's dreams within you. And along the journey, God puts things within your heart. Amen? I want you to keep dreaming. Tell your neighbor, keep dreaming. Come on, keep dreaming, keep believing. You're never too old. Amen? God says that I will pour my spirit. Even old men will dream dreams. Amen? Can you dream? Can you dream with me tonight? Come on. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I pray to God, Lord, to pour out your word. I pray for there be a release. To God, Lord, that we can hear your word. I pray to God, Lord, that we can just receive it in Jesus' name. Say amen. Amen. All right, so let's look this up in Genesis 37. Amen. Let's just look this up. And I just want to start to read and let's see where we go, okay? Genesis 37, 1 says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was, and he was a stranger in the land of Canaan." He was a stranger in the land of Canaan. And that really quickens me because he put in there his grandfather was a stranger in the land of Canaan. He was a stranger there. That means that you weren't familiar with it. But I love that he put that in front there because this is Joseph's heritage. Come on. This is Joseph's heritage. This is who his grandfather was. And it represented his father was next in line. And then there's Joseph. And it's declaring something over their lives. I want you to know that, listen to me, if you got breath, you got heritage. Amen? Come on. You were created, hallelujah, by a heavenly father. You have some heritage in a strange land. Amen? You might feel strange here. You might feel out of place sometimes here. But you have heritage and you have purpose in your lives. And he began to declare that. And I just began to think about that, that his grandparents, that who he was, he had some heritage. And the heritage was this, that he obeyed the voice of God. You know, that's the hardest thing sometimes is to move when you don't feel like moving. Change is a hard thing. Come on, Adele, tell me. Preach this tonight. Change is a hard thing. None of us really like change. And it's hard. Sometimes even with you guys experiencing this next level, all of us go to different levels. Come on, there's a young couple here. They're going to go to the next level and they're going to get married. Raise your hands. Come on. There they are. Amen. They look like they are handcuffed for a second. Yeah. But change is a good thing. See, because that's a good thing where you go begin to move into another relationship, into another experience in life. And these are good things. Don't fight change. I want you to know that God uses change in our lives for opportunities to increase, to fill us up with more of Him. Sometimes these things, we become better people. In marriage, I think it's powerful because we move from one place to be a single-minded to a double-minded, to having a place where that you're beginning to be not about you, but about somebody else. And someday, say someday. I was talking to them, but someday. You guys will embrace that. But come on, parents, amen me. A long time down the road, you'll have marriage. Hopefully a long time. Graduate college and do all those things first. Amen. But I can't preach. I can't do that, though, because I got married pretty early. And it's lasted pretty long. Amen. It's going to be 28 years. 28 years. Whew. I ain't 17 no more. I ain't 17. But you know, And those moments, sometimes there's change, but change is a good thing. Change is the opportunity to see what God does is begin to move us out of where we were. And God, all through the Bible, has moved men and women from places that people that obey, people that will hear His voice, people that will be able to change and say, listen, I want to be transformed. I want to go to the next level. That's what Jacob did. That's what Isaac did. That they went from one realm to another realm. That they're willing to leave where they were to go to another level. Listen, God wants us to go that. Not just to stay in the same place for year after year, going around the same old things. Come on, amen. But I want change. I want to move from one place to another. I need to respond to God. The Bible says that we got to understand that God says that hope, He gives us hope. And we get write the vision. Get the vision and write it down. You know, we have a vision right here. And what is it? Come on. For every year, we write the vision for the people. And this year, it's momentum. Say momentum. Listen, and it's not just there to look pretty. It looks good, don't it? Come on, my daughter made that. She did that. That's pretty good. But it's not just for looks. But I want everybody just to recognize this and understand that it's there for a reason. It's to put a vision that God has placed upon our hearts, not to get caught, not to stay in one spot, not just to spin in a circle, amen? But to begin to move with God and to stay in momentum, to keep your heart moving after God. Don't stop. Tell your neighbor, don't stop. But keep the move. Come on, amen? We've been talking about the rhythm of God. We've been talking about being in beat with God, hearing the sound of God, moving with what God's declaring. I don't want to be at a place where that I don't hear what God's doing, that I don't have an ear to hear the voice of God. Our heart becomes hardened that I'm not willing to receive it. But we want to receive that. So they had some heritage to hear. I want to look at every one of you and say that you got some heritage. Come on, amen? Give them a round of applause. Come on, you got some heritage. You got some heritage. You got grandfathers. You got people that have been in your life that has prayed for you. Listen, that's a blessing. That's a blessing to know that. To receive what they have pressed on for. That they have pressed on. But they have an ear to hear. So Joseph was at a place where he had an ear to hear. But I want you to know that every one of us have an opportunity to hear what God's declaring. You know, when Jesus was walking and He was in different places, everybody was there had the opportunity to hear what God was saying to them. But not everybody received it. Not everybody was. Somebody was busy. Somebody was doing something else. Maybe somebody was caught up in their own problems. Come on, do we get that way? Come on, we get caught up in our situations and sometimes they overwhelm us. Don't ever be in a place where you can't hear God talk to you. Don't ever be in a place where you're not willing to stop to say, I need to have the heartbeat of God. I need to know what God's saying. I need to be at that place to receive what God's speaking to me. Someone says, but God doesn't always talk to me. I want you to know, you have this right here. This is the Word of God. That you can receive a word, that if you read that word and let God speak to your heart, say, God, Lord, speak to my heart. God, declare something to me. Give me a word. Let me read your word. And you do it by faith, believing. You know, that's the most beautiful thing, the requirement that God asks us to do is to believe. He came to cause us to believe, that we might believe in Him. Amen? All right. So, and he says, and these are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old. Come on, you try to remember what it was like being 17. You knew everything. My daughter was telling me the other day how things go about driving. She's always teaching me. I'm learning, guys. She teaches me to drive. She lets me know if I made a right turn on a red light or green light or whatever it was, and if I didn't yield quick enough. And so I'm really not worried about her driving because she teaches me. The phone rings, and she looks at me. Before we pull out of the driveway, she looks at me.
Buck what?
Listen, I grew up in the 80s. I drove in the back of a pickup truck. They put us in the back, and they would drive to Elwood in the back of a pickup truck to go to church. Am I right, Beth? Yes, they did. Come on, amen. You remember that? So we grew up in those days and age. Thank God that we have seatbelts now. Amen. Amen. So it says that Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock and his brethren, and the lad was the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah and his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his fathers their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than the children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. I want you to see here, he's got some things against him from his brothers. Because first of all, he was telling his father an evil report about his brothers. I have older brothers, so I know what it's like that if you tell on your brothers, you're going to get a noogie. Come on, man. And they're going to knock you out. And I knew to keep my mouth shut no matter what. And so here they are. He was bringing a report about the father, about it to his father, about his brothers. And then second of all, that Jacob, it was his favorite son. Not just one of them. No, his favorite son. And not only that, but worst of all, he made him a coat to show them how much he favored him. It was a multicolored coat. Come on, amen. This was tough for him, but he wore it proud. He wore it upon him. He was proud of who he was. He was proud that he was his father's favorite and that he knew it, that his father loved him. But I tell you what, it didn't look good to his brothers. Listen, I want to just declare this. I want you to see this. And it says, and when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, that they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. I want you to know that, listen, I want you to hear this and know that this is powerful, because in life we got to understand, and you're adults, you're going to get this too, that not everybody's going to like you. And I say this not to discourage you, because you adults, can you agree with me? This, I would like everybody to like me, but unfortunately, there might be somebody here today, I forgive you if you don't, but they might not like me. But that's okay. But I want you to know that sometimes there's people in your life that don't like you, that might not accept you. But I want you to know that what God's doing for you, they cannot do against you to overpower it. As much as somebody doesn't like you, you've got to know that you have a Heavenly Father that likes you more. Come on, amen? That no matter what, you got to know this and be sure about this in your life. And adults, we got to be sure about this, because the biggest thing that causes us to trip and to fall and to be discouraged, to feel like we're failing, is to think that God doesn't like us. To feel that God's not with us, that He's against us. Amen? But if you know that God's for you, not against you, you could plow through a lot of things. You can get through a lot of things. So if you can stick that in your pocket, hold on to that, and know that you have that understanding that God loves you. He's for you, not against you. There's great things that you'll overcome. And God will put a dream in your heart, just like He did with Joseph. He put a dream within his heart. And that's another thing that stirred, that caused his brothers to be upset. Because I want you to know that sometimes in life, look at Philippians 2:12, I think that is. I think it's Philippians 2:12 through 15. I want you to see this. Y'all with me? And it says, and then when they saw this, and it says, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren that they hated him yet the more. They hated him before, but now they hated him even more, because he dreamed a dream and he shared his dream. I want you guys to know that, hear this and understand this. And all the adults get this, because maybe somewhere along the line, you forgot the dream, you quit dreaming, maybe there was something in your heart, and this is where it begins, where we begin to lose the desire to dream, is when somebody comes along and they begin to not believe or accept what you're dreaming. Come on, amen. There's some people that not believe. They might be people that are with you that they don't believe in your dream, and they're not getting behind you. They're not agreeing with what you're saying. I want you to know that sometimes we can't always share our dreams with just everybody. There's some things that maybe God has put in your heart. Maybe God has put things in your heart, dreams that God has placed upon your heart that you've shared with people that maybe you shouldn't have. Come on, you with me? And maybe they discourage you to stop dreaming, to stop believing, to stop moving forward, to stop having dreams. Sometimes people will do that. And I want you to know that, see, that's the biggest thing the enemy will try to do, is derail what God has placed in your heart. He will try to stop you from moving with what God has put in your heart. God has called each one of you. God has purpose within you. God has designed you. God has made you for a purpose. Do you know that? I want you to know that you're a problem solver. Just like everybody here, never forget that God has put a dream, His dream, in your heart to solve a problem that nobody else can. Nobody else can. You were born in the year that you were born for a purpose, to solve a problem that God has placed you here to solve. I want you to get that. I want you to know that. I want everyone of you to understand that, to know that we need to find the dream that God has for me and to believe in it, to know that I'm here for a reason. We all know that any inventor that creates something, they create it to solve a problem. Your God created you to solve a problem that's in this earth, to speak to it, to turn it, to be a problem solver, not a problem. Not to create problems, amen, but to solve them. And you're not doing it alone, but God is with you. But the enemy will do everything he can to derail you. But this is what you need to do with dreams. I want everybody to get this and hear this, that whenever you have a prophetic word in your life, there's a word that comes, there's a responsibility that we have over that. That God gives us a responsibility that whenever there's things that have been spoken in your life, or maybe there's a dream, there's a requirement that we have to do. The Wright brothers had a dream, and they just didn't wait for a plane to show up. They had this dream of building this plane. They didn't wait to get an airplane hangar. They began to build their plane in a bicycle shop. They didn't have an airplane shop, but they had a bicycle shop. And everybody else wouldn't understand, but they had a dream in their heart that nobody could really understand. What do you mean fly? You're a weirdo. Kind of discouraging their dreams. But I want you to know they didn't bother them. They stayed late at night and they were building a plane that was in their heart. Something that was in their heart. A dream that was within their heart. And they kept going with it. I want everybody to know that we have dreams. There's prophetic words that have been in your life. And I want you to know that you have a responsibility to pray about it. Come on, I want you to know sometimes things don't come to pass. And we get mad at God. We get upset at God. But how much time have I prayed to say, God, I pray for this to take place in my life. I declare it. I grab it. I speak it into existence. You begin to speak over. You begin to write it down. Amen? You begin to write up that dreams. Whatever your dreams are, don't lose them. Amen? Don't let nobody get in the way of them. Come on. Don't let nobody discourage you. Whatever they are, write it down. Whatever's in your heart. Because you, when you're young, you got that in your heart. There's something, there's a fire in your belly. Write it down. Make it plain. And every night before you go, say, God, Lord, I give this to you. I give this to you. And you need to pray about it. You need to pray of one another. You need to pray of your children. That God, Lord, whatever that prophetic word is, I pray over her. Every word that she has, God, Lord, I pray to God, Lord, I speak to that prophetic word that's in her life. To speak to it, God. Lord, to move. And sometimes there's places of responsibility for me to wait on God. To say, God, Lord, what am I to do? Sometimes we sit and we just wait for God to wave a wand, just make it happen. I want you to know that we need to pursue it. We need to have a hunger for it. We need to run after it. We need to reach for it. Amen? It says, and I'm going to switch this around because this is the third one. I'm going to do it second. You got to let God build it within you. And I want you to hear this and know that dream that's within you, you got to let God build it within you before you let it out. See, because sometimes people will snatch it or pull it from you, but you got to let it be built up within you. So I want you to see the powerful thing with Joseph. Joseph had something on the outside. It was a coat that told him that he was his father's favorite. That his father loved him. But I want you to know, to understand that dream that God put within him wasn't something just on the outside. But God was doing something on the inside. See, that's what God's doing, something within our lives, that God's building something on the inside. Let God build His dream for you on the inside. Amen? Let Him build it up within you. Let Him build it up. Pray about it. You need to seek God. Say, God, Lord, build up Your desires for me, Your purpose and Your plans. Let's read the Scripture. Go ahead and go to that. I want to go before I get too far. You all right? Wherefore, my beloved, as you always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Listen, that's a powerful scripture. Sometimes people they're not sure, what do you mean work out your salvation? I want you to know that he's talking about the salvation. He's talking about working about it, not your salvation to God from your sin, but he's talking about working out your salvation, working out what's within you, walking out what God has for you in your life. Work it out of your life. The salvation, rescuing, you know God's always saving us. Come on, you know I need saved every day. We got to recognize that every single day I need God to rescue me. I call 911 every day. God, help me. I know you guys call 911 too, right? I need God to help me every day. I need Him to call every day. So I got, Lord, I need You to rescue. I need to work it out. But I need to work it out of my life. I need to work out what God has dreamt, what God, His Word, work it out of my life. And God uses things around you to work it out of you. I want you to know that God's got a plan that those brothers that were there, it seemed like they were coming against Him. It seemed like they were, but it seemed like that at the moment, Joseph feels like, you know, when everything's coming against you, you feel discouraged, you feel weak, but I want you to know that there's something greater going on. When everything seems like it's at its worst, I want you to know that God's working something out and you need to let Him work it out. Lord, You're working on me. Something's working out of me and I need to trust You. Because I want you to know, because it's whenever the storms are hitting at those moments where that God's working something out of you. He's causing you to trust Him or pulling you to trust Him in the midst of crisis. In the midst of change. In the midst of doubt. Where fear is. God's causing us to work out of us what's within us. So there was something greater that was within Him. See, religion is always on the outside. But I want you to know that God in relationships working from the inside out of you. Amen? You've got to help me. And He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Next verse. I think 12 through 15. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. To declare and decree His good pleasure. See, God has a purpose for you, a design, and He's working within you to work it out of you. Say amen. I want you to know that, see, God's not just working in us for me, but God's working in my life for you. I got to get you to hear this tonight. So I want you to know that we got to let God work in us because God's working on me for her. See, it's not just about me. See, we got to get our minds and our eyes off of that and understand that, see, we got to let God work on us. Because God's working on me so that what's working out of me can help her. Can help her. That can help you. That in the midst of it, if I would have ran from God when all hell broke loose in my life, guess what? I want to be here for you. I want to be an encouragement. I want to stand up there and glorify God and be an encouragement every single week, every day. I need to let God work out of me so that I'm here for you. See, I want you to know that, see, God's got a spouse for you in the future. Future. But God's, you got to let God work it out. Because I want you to know, we got a lot of issues, things in our lives that if we let God work it out now, we don't have to work it out later. That they don't have to deal with a lot of the crap that we bring in it. That we can fly. Do you know when you go on an airplane trip, do you know what you do? You check in your baggage. You go to baggage claim and you drop it off. I want you to know that that's what we need to do. We need to go before God and we need to let God work out of us some of that baggage that has been with us. Fortunately, you guys don't have much baggage. I mean, that's awesome. They're beautiful, but some of us adults don't get to a place where that God's still working on you 50 years later trying to work out the baggage in you. Come on, amen. Because He wants you to minister to your wife, your child, amen. So it says, and He says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and decree His good pleasure. This, it's God working in you to work out of you. You're not doing this on your own. I want you to know that you got God with you working out of you. I'm going to say, you got God working in you to work out of you for a purpose so that others might see your light. So that they could see the purpose and they could stand back and say, wow, God, You're an awesome God. Oh, God, You're real. They could see that purpose working out of your life. Next verse. Oh, do all things. Say, do all things. Without murmuring and complaining. This is the success story of Joseph right here. I want you to hear this. I want you to know that this is the biggest problem that we have. Is the greatest victory that you'll have in your life. Is do not let murmuring and complaining get a hold of you. Because you'll lose every dream you have. Because you'll focus on what you don't got. You don't have an airplane shop. You got a bicycle shop. Build your airplane in that bicycle shop. Take with what you got and build with it. I want you to know, listen to me, we're standing here today. Come on, just take a look around. Is this a beautiful place? I remember the day and the moment when we were in my house, in my living room. And I'm not bragging, but I'm telling you, I never murmured and complained about worshiping God in my living room. We stood together and worshiped God in my living room and blessed His name for where we were, because I thought it was a great opportunity that I was able just to worship God, to be in the midst of His people. I want you to know that sometimes we lose it. I want you to know that we're standing here today because we didn't murmur and complain about where we were. I went to some places that I didn't. I loved to go to Shad's because I'd go eat right after service. It was awesome there. It took care of me. But there were some places when we were in the old school by the... Y'all came with me and we got pictures of it. Go buy it today and look at it. But y'all came with me. I remember some of you kept being with me in the midst of that place, and we made it good. We made it look pretty. And we worshiped God without murmuring and complaining. And God brought us from there to the next step where I really didn't want to go, but He brought me there. But then from here to here. And we did it without murmuring and complaining. And God has brought us here because there was a prophetic word of me years ago, over 20 years ago, there was a word over me. It said that I would be up preaching in a tent in the center of town. That was the word over my life. And I kept saying to God, Lord, I know You have a calling in my life to preach the word, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't realize it, but it might not have been what I thought, because now I look back and look at this building and it looks like a tent. Where's that? In the center of the city of Newcastle. Come on. Without murmuring, complaining. Didn't matter whether there was 15 people or 4 people. I remember sometimes it'd be 2 people on a Wednesday night. Come on. And we kept worshiping God. Don't ever let it lose it. Because God will increase it if you're faithful with what He gives you. But you'll lose your dreams whenever you begin to murmur and complain about what you don't have. About all your enemies, about all the problems that surround you. Worship God with everything. Be thankful where you are. Don't murmur, don't complain. And God will cause it, because once we murmur and complain, it stops. We get out of rhythm. Remember I talked about it? We begin, but all of a sudden when we begin to... We lose our rhythm. We lose our beat. And God's moving, and we're standing still because we've lost the heartbeat of the Father. Amen? And you got to share your dreams. He says, you can't share your dreams. You got to share your dreams with the right people. Say right people. You'll know when it's the right people. You'll know when it's the right ones to share it with. I want you to know that in the midst of crisis, this is the greatest thing that I believe you'll get, is you'll find out who's with you in crisis. You know who your friends are when you're going through crisis. You know who believes in you. So I want you to know that sometimes you get upset because we have crisis, but I want you to know that crisis will begin to define who's with you and who's not. Unfortunately, that's the truth. Amen? But crisis will define who's with you and who's not. Don't curse your moments. Don't curse the moments you're in. I want you to know that here's Joseph and here's his brothers. I'm going to try to make this a short story real quick, and it's a long story. But they took Joseph, and this is his own brothers. See, I want you to get this. They took his own brothers, took him, and they decided that they were going to kill him. And they threw Joseph, and they put him in a pit, and they were going to make it look like he died. They took his coat, that coat of many colors. But I want you to know, it's okay. See, because Joseph was in there, and I want you to know he found something to praise God about. Because when he got thrown in the pit, it says that there was no water in there. He didn't drown. I believe that Joseph gave God praise. Even though he was in a pit and everybody was against him, he found something to praise God about. Come on. You got to reach down deep sometimes and you got to find something. I don't know what. You will find something to praise God about. That you got a hand that you can lift up. Whatever it is. But you got to. It's dependent upon you keeping your dreams in the midst of your crisis or things coming against you. You got to be willing to find a place to lift up your hands and bless God. Because I want you to know, the scripture tells us that his brother Judah, which is pretty cool because brother Judah said that we can't do this to him. We need to do it a different way. He sold him to slavery, but he pulled him out of the pit. It's your worship and your praise, which means Judah. Judah means worship, that'll pull you out of your pit. If you need to get out of a pit, it's worship and praise that'll pull you out of that place. And I want you to know that, see, this whole time God's working on the inside. See, we got to know God, that God's plans are higher than my plans. Sometimes we don't understand it, we don't know it, but we got to trust God and know that God has a plan for it. He sent His Son to die for me that I can have life and have life more abundantly. Why would He cause things to go against me and not for me when I love Him? So God's working something in our lives. He's working something out of our lives. Do it without murmuring. Trust God in the midst of it. I know it's the hardest thing to do. Come on, you with me tonight? It's the hardest thing sometimes to do. But I want you to know that you'll lose your dreams if you begin to murmur and complain about where you're at. See, but Joseph, he kept going. In the Bible, it never ever finds a place in the Word of God that tells that Joseph murmured and complained about it. This guy got rejected, got lied to. He got sold by his brothers to be a slave. They chained him up and they took him and sold him again to Potiphar. He went into a house. And in that house, he got favor with God. God blessed him. But in that place, somebody was trying to derail his dreams. And the woman that was there, his wife, lied about Joseph to derail his dreams. It could have very well happened, but he kept up with what I'm declaring tonight, that he didn't murmur and complain. He kept blessing God. Listen, I want you to know that sometimes in those moments, you're saying, God, have you been here? Help me tonight. And don't remember this. Remember what I'm saying to you. Because there's sometimes when you're coming to church, what are we coming to church for? Because if things are going right, sometimes we say this. You ready? God, Lord, I'm trying to do things right for you. I'm trying to live for you, God, and everything's going wrong. No, you haven't done that? Come on. It seems like sometimes, remember David? David went on a mission trip. And when he came back home, his tents were burned, his family was taken from him, everything was gone. He came back and he said, are you kidding me? God, I went on a mission trip for you, and I come back and everything's gone. I want you to know that he trusted God in the midst of it. He had a crisis for a moment, but he encouraged himself. He began to worship God. He began to find that place that he trusted God again. He came to a place, God, work within my heart. Let the meditation upon my heart, the God, Lord, be pleasing unto you. What I'm thinking about, let it be right, God. And God brought it back to him. He could have been angry. He could have got mad, just like we have done, just like so many Christians, because they think that God was against them because of what happened to them at church. Maybe somebody made them upset. Maybe somebody did this or did that to them. So they stormed out and got mad at God. Just like, I want you to know that Joseph never gave up on a dream, even though his brothers were against him. Sometimes your brothers will come against you. I want you to know, but God's working something within you so that you can be the difference. Come on, amen? Don't worry about what's happening with them. Don't matter what's God, Lord, you deal with them on your own, God. But God's working something within you. I want you to know, you ready for this? Working something out of you for others. And those others are going to be His brothers. God's working something within them. Listen. You ready? And he says, I'm going to go all the way to the end here. We're about, y'all good? But he was rejected by his brothers. He was lied about by in Potiphar's house. And then when he went to prison. When he got to prison, that dream that he had a prophetic word, the guy had a dream, and he tried to find out what it was, and he was a baker. Baker and a candlestick maker. I don't know if that's... Just want to see if I had your attention. But he asked Joseph what his dream meant. And Joseph began to tell him what his dream was. And he said that you're going to be released from this place. And when you do, ready for this? When you do, don't forget about me. When you get out of this place, don't forget about me. How many of you have been forgot about? You feel like you've been forgot about. See, I want you to know that Joseph could have been in that place. There's sometimes in your life you feel like that maybe everybody forgot about you. You could be in those places. You feel like you're alone. You feel like nobody's with you. You feel like you're all by yourself. But I want you to know, take the time to listen to what God's saying. Because it doesn't matter what anybody else is. Hallelujah. I want you to know they're not your salvation. Jesus is your salvation. He's your strength. Amen? So we need to awake what He's saying. And Joseph sat in that cell. He didn't get mad at God. Man, I want you to know that God helped. This guy's awesome. Because I've been mad at God sometimes. Not for what He did, but for what I thought He did. Because people that represented Him, represented Him wrong. They weren't letting God work out of them. They were had it on the outside, trying to work in me. But I want you to know that Joseph stood for 2 years, and then all 2 years. And after 2 years, the king went to the baker and he says, I had a dream. And the baker said, oh, yeah. Oh, I knew it was something. I want you to know that, listen to me, God was working still on Joseph. He was working on something within him. See, I want you to know that Joseph come a long ways. He was this arrogant kid. He had a lot. He knew, thought he knew so much, this and that. But God was working something within him. He was causing him to be faithful with little. Because God had something great for him. God had purpose designed for him. I want you to know that we got to be faithful with the little before God ever gives us the much. We got to be faithful. That if you got it in your hand, if you're not willing to give it, you never get anything else. You have what you have in your hand, and that's it. So I want you to know that if Joseph would have stayed with what he had in his hand, he could have just been angry. He could have just been upset. That he lost his jacket. That his brothers rejected him. But he didn't stay in that place. I want you to know that those pains sometimes are real. Help me tonight. Sometimes those pains are real. Rejection's real. Being lied to you about your character, about you. Those are real things. But I want you to know that those are sometimes attempts by the enemy to derail you. To cause you to fumble. To cause you to get sidetracked. But you need to keep your head straight ahead. You need to keep your eyes upon Jesus. You need to lift up your head and trust in Him in the midst of whatever you're going through and know that He's God. You got, I don't know how. You ever been there? You ever been in that place where you don't know how? Come on, amen. I've been in places where I don't know how, God. Come on. I'm in a situation now, I don't know how, God, you're going to get me out of this thing. But you're God. You're God. You're the problem solver. And God, I don't know how. I'm not going to complain in the midst of it. But God, You've taught me. He taught us in creation. You ready for this? In creation, God created. Come on. He said, let there be light. And when He was done, He said, it is good. Hey, neighbor, it's good. I want you to know the first words of the Bible, God was teaching us how to worship. Because He was saying, listen, it wasn't finished. The hardest thing is to praise God for something that's not finished yet. Things that aren't complete. It's hard to praise God for your healing when you're not completely healed yet. It's hard to pray for those that you need to forgive and you still got something in your heart that you're having a hard time. It's hard to praise God sometimes for that because somebody rejected you, lied about you, hurt you, let you down. But then the next day, God created. And one after the next, every time He said, it's good, until it was complete, a finished work. He was showing us how to worship, even when it's not finished. See, Joseph kept worshiping. And I want you to know that after 2 years, 2 years, he came out of the prison. But this was a long time, 17 years, I think it was 17 years, that he was at this place from when he left his brothers. And he got to the place where he was now. I want you to know that he found status with the king and he placed him in charge of all of Egypt. That dream was coming true. But I want you to know that he wasn't in a place of arrogance anymore where that you're going to bow and you're going to worship me. He was there to serve them. So I want you to know, let's look at this right here. Genesis 50. And it says, and as his brothers. So I want you to know that, see, God works things. God's working something within you, not just for you, but for others. He's working something in you, not just for you, but for others. That's the heartbeat of God. See, that's the heartbeat of God. And see, his brother showed up because there was a famine that was in the land. See, God knew about a famine before it. And God trusted, Joseph trusted his father, his God, in the midst of it to know he knows things beyond his control. That God was preparing him for a purpose to solve a problem that only Joseph was there to solve. Come on, amen? Listen, because they would have never found favor with Pharaoh. But they found favor with Joseph. Because there was his brother. But they didn't know. They didn't know it was him. And they came before him. Now as they stood before him, this is what he said. I want you to know, because he let God work out of him what was in him. He let God work his dream through his life. And he had purpose. He had success. He had favor that nobody could take from him. Nobody could. Listen, people can reject you. People can lie to you. But I want you to know that when you know the favor and the trusting in God, nothing can happen to you and you still trust in God. No matter what comes your way, God's God. But that takes time. Amen? Listen. And it says, and Joseph said unto them, fear not. Here's his brothers. He's looking at them. And I bet you they're scared. Now he holds the rule now, man. I know what I would have done. God's still working on me. Come on, I'm just being funny. But I want you to know this. God placed him there, and this is what he said to them. He says, and Joseph said to them, fear not. You ready for this? For am I in the place of God? Listen, I want you to get this. I'm in a place of God. Not only are God's dreams coming true through my life, but I'm in a place to be a blessing. I'm a place of favor. Man, there's nothing better than be at that place of abundant life where the joy of God is working out of you. Whether you got purpose, whether you have something to give, like you give Him. That's powerful. Never stop. God's worked in your life so that you can release what's in you. Doesn't matter who it is. That's powerful. That's a coat that God has placed upon you. A coat of favor. And it's not on the outside, but it's on the inside. That you've found favor with God, and because of that favor, you want to share it with others. You want them to experience Him. You want them to know the favor that you feel from God upon your life. You're not holding it for yourself. I declare blessing upon you. I pray for increase right now in Jesus' name. I pray for it to overpower you. I pray that it runs before you. It goes before you. That you don't have to try to make it happen. Stay in that place of your heart being right with God and trusting and knowing that He's God. You got this. I don't know how. You're going to be in situations and places in your life. And you're going to say, God, I don't know how you're going to make this work. But I know you will. Because you always have. Because you're my Father and you're faithful. Watch what God does. You're going to come back to this place. You're going to stand here and share testimonies of what God has done and the favor of God upon your life. And it says, for I am in a place of God. I'm a place where God has for me. But as for you, you thought against me evil. Listen, you thought evil against me. But God, what you meant for evil, listen, what you meant for evil, hallelujah. Come on, amen. You're going to be in a place, we need to be in a place, what you meant for evil, God has meant for good. What you thought was working against me, God was working for me. Hallelujah. And there was something happening that you couldn't see. Come on, I want you to get this. I want you to hear this. Listen, I want you to know that the Bible says the princes of darkness were standing. If they would have known that putting Jesus on the cross, hallelujah, would break your chains, that would loosen you, that caused resurrection life to come upon you, He would have never put Him on the cross. But what God was doing for Him was greater than what the enemy was doing against Him. It looked like all things were bad. It looked like things were impossible.
What Jesus went to the cross. Hallelujah. Well, he got nailed up there. He stayed in the place of worship. Hallelujah. God, you're faithful. I don't know how. Hallelujah. Not my will, but yours be done, Father. As they pierced his skin, as they placed the thorns upon, as he was rejected, as he was lied, as he was spit upon, he still worshiped. His arms stretched out. He was in that place. Let your will be done. Well, if the enemy would have known what was taking place, that God had his son's back. You walk in that favor, you'll break chains. Because I want you to know that Jesus went to the cross, not for him, but for you. He had a dream in his heart, and it was fulfilled. And you are that dream. You are. And he says, now therefore, fear not, I will nourish you. This is what he's talking to his brothers. And I'll nourish your grandchildren. I'll bless your grandchildren. And he says, and he comforted them, he spoke kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in that land. And he had two sons. One of them was Manasseh. And that means I will cause you to forget. He will cause us to forget. If you stand with God, then no matter what has happened in your life in the past, God will cause you. God will work in your life to cause you to forget that thing in your past. And the next son he had was Ephraim. And that means fruitful. Say fruitful. I want you to know that that God wants to produce something in our lives. God wants to work out of us. And there's been things in our lives that could derail us. Maybe you've lost your dreams. But let Manasseh be born within you. Let God cause that thing to be forgotten about. Let it be broken off of you, that you don't hold on to your past no more, but you can move into your fruitful place with God. Stand to your feet. Come on. I just want you to agree with me. Kelly, come on up here. Amen. I just feel that, everybody here that, man, dream again. Wake up tomorrow and ask God to give you a dream again. I've seen too many great people lose their dreams. Too many people get derailed because of rejection, because they've been lied to, they've been cheated. I pray that God tonight, I pray that each one of you, God, stirs your heart tonight to dream again. To believe and trust Him like you've never before. Wake up tomorrow with a new heart. Wake up when you get out, before you get out of bed, say, God, I pray to God, Lord, that you'll stir my heart. That I begin to move towards you, not from you. That I begin to hear your voice for the dreams that you have for me, God. Because you created me. And the dream that you have for me, will cause me, hallelujah, to rise up and run. That dream that you put in my heart will cause me, hallelujah, to run and not be weary. To walk and not faint, hallelujah. That's what the dream of God does within you. Get the dream of God in your heart. Let's pray. I want you to agree with me tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm excited to declare in Jesus' name right now. Hallelujah. I speak right now. I pray for the covering. I just declare over each one of these right now. I'm going to speak the same prayer. I pray that whatever has tried to stir you to the right or the left. Are you ready? Come on, lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. It be broken in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Off each one of you. Hallelujah. Anything that tries to derail the dream of God that's within you, that He's caused you to have a heartbeat for. He's caused you to have a heartbeat. He's caused breath to come in your life to fulfill the dream that He has for you. And that dream that He has for you is your purpose. Lord, I pray right now, God, protection and covering upon their lives. I pray for guidance and for direction, God. I pray to God, Lord, that the song that you have, hallelujah, the song that's within your mouth, let it out, Aaron. Hallelujah. Let the song out. Let the song that God has in your heart, the melody that's in your heart. I just want you to get this and understand this and know that no matter where you're at, you feel that God puts it on your heart that you feel to pray for somebody, just go pray for them.
Whether you're in Walmart or Dairy Queen or Burger King, if it's in your heart, you pray for them, because God's going to move in those moments. God's going to touch people in those moments to share your God. I pray right now that I give you strength. I declare strength upon you right now in the Spirit, in the name of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to move, to give you confidence. Confidence that you've never had before as you step into this new arena. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now. Back to God. Oh, hallelujah, God. Lord, I just pray right now, God. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray to God, Lord, that the work that you're doing within her that nobody knows, God, Lord, the work that you're working in her heart, the God, Lord, that love that you have for her, God, is showered upon her, God. That love that, God, Lord, that you have, God, shown her from a very young age, God. She knows your voice. I pray right now, God, Lord, that it increases right now. Come on, saints. Come on. Hallelujah. I pray that it increases. Hallelujah. I pray that specific ministry that God has called you to do, that specific code that you're caused to break. Hallelujah. That thing that God has for you, I pray that it comes quickly. I pray that it moves fastly, swiftly, right now in Jesus' name. I pray to God, Lord, that the angels, hallelujah, go before her and prepare the way, that whatever has tried to come against her cannot, hallelujah, that whatever has tried to derail her, that what the enemy has tried to use for evil, I want you to hear that God will use it for good. I want you to understand that in the midst of the pain that's been in your life, that God's going to use it to bless others. The hurts that are within you, the hurt that might be in your heart, that we all have, those hurts that are within you, God's going to use it to minister to those ones that are going through those things right now. You're going to speak to the life. You're going to be able to speak to a place that I can't. You're going to touch places in their hearts that only God can use you specifically for, and speak to it and change those things. I declare it. I call it forth in Jesus' name. I call it forth in Jesus' name. That prophetic voice that's in your heart. Man, I just see that God is going to use you to say things to people that only they know. The most powerful things. When God speaks something in your heart, man, you're scared. I remember one time, and I'm going to share this because it's powerful. I was in youth. And as I was worshiping, I just had this vision of this girl that was standing there, worshiping, her hands up. I had a vision of this girl sitting at a desk writing a letter. And she was writing a letter, God. Tears were running down her eyes. And I went up to her after. I was scared at first, but I couldn't go out of this place. But I want you to hear this and know this, that this is powerful. Because this is what God wants to use you, target pointing. That you point at somebody, speak to that specific thing that only they know. That they stand back and think, oh, you're powerful, you're real. And I went to that girl and I said, listen, I said, I seen you sitting at your desk in her trailer, all by herself, nobody around, writing a letter to God. And she began to bawl, tears run down her face, crying. And she got on the ground and she began to worship God, tears running down her eyes. And she told me after, she says that she was writing a letter to God to ask God why. Why he didn't care, why he didn't love her, why she was going through all these things. And that was her answer, to let him know that I've always been for you. I've always been with you. I'm the only thing that's been constant in your life that's kept you going. And that girl went on to be successful because of that one word in her heart. She believed it. God's going to use you to target people, to speak things that specifically they only heard from God, that something happened, man, and you say it to them and trigger something within them. I pray to God, Lord, you speedily come upon her, God, Lord, that she hears your voice, to God, Lord, that she targets, God, Lord, once, to God, Lord, that she might feel odd about it, but I pray right now, God, Lord, that oddness, that discomfort about speaking in those moments, God, be broken, God, that she speaks life in words of eternal, hallelujah, eternal words. I hear God saying eternal words, words of eternity, words that are powerful, words aren't dead words, that are powerful words, that God wants you to speak those words to change people's lives, that they will change the course on which way they're going when they hear that word. God's going to use you to speak those things. Come on. Lord, I pray blessing, protection, and guidance. Lord, I speak over each one here tonight.
speak over the dreams that have been lost. Just pray to God, Lord, as we lay our heads down tonight, that I pray to God, Lord, that you put a dream within them again, God, in the power of your name. And we will declare with all of our hearts that we are. Amen. Come on, amen. Let's go celebrate with these kids downstairs. Come on downstairs. We got ice cream. Listen, in Jesus' name, I declare, be fat free. Hallelujah. There you go. I blessed it. Go in Jesus' name.